This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rant of the vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the end is staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, they ain't ready. Okay. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I am your boy, J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. And I must thank you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your day to come, you know, chill with me, listen to me ramble on about whatever. I really do appreciate it. I notice it. The numbers are, you know, doing a lot better than I was doing last year, which was a lot better than I was doing the year before that. So, yeah, you could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly appreciate it and acknowledge it. Let's see, man. First, I have to say, rest in peace to Dwayne Haskins. That was, man, really unfortunate. I was at my daughter's soccer game, and just saw it come through. I think the homie Chad hit me first and was just like, man, that's a shame what happened to Dwayne Haskins. And it's crazy when people hit you with like text messages like that, as if like whatever they just found out is just common knowledge to everybody. So I got to go find out what happened to Dwayne Haskins to be able to respond to his text message. But when I looked it up, of course, struck by a car in Florida while training with some teammates, 24 years old, man. So, it's tragic. It really is tragic. And, however it is you felt about him as a player, I know Adam Schefter got in some hot water for like mentioning his NFL struggles in the same tweet where he was pretty much, announcing that he was no longer alive. It's like, none of that matters. A 24-year-old was lost. Not that, it's any less important when somebody older than that passes, but, just the potential in terms of, what he had left or what his impact could have been erased. And that's, that's tragic. So, yeah, had to mention that first. Congrats. I don't even want to. Please don't take this as any sort of disrespect. I'm just not good at pronouncing names. Is it Katanji? Is that it? Like, I ain't been watching the news, so I ain't been hearing people say it. But we got our first black woman justice on the Supreme Court. So that's a big deal. I don't know how I know people have their feelings about it. I'll talk about that a little bit more later as it relates to other stories. But one way or another, it's a moment in history. However you feel about it, it's a moment in history. Remember where you were when it happened. You can tell your grandkids about it, whether you're telling them about it as the worst thing that ever happened to America or one of the best. That's up to you. But it is absolutely a moment in history and something a lot of people are proud of. Including myself. So shout out to that. Man, what else we got going on? Man, the Midnight Miracle podcast, which is just one of the dopest, to me, it's taking podcasts into another place. Like I haven't heard another show remotely like it. And just the combination of personalities and the things that they have to say and the way they get it off, with humor and art, it's beautiful. If you don't know, that's the show with Dave Chappelle, Talib Kweli, and Mos Def. And then they always have, other guests there. Questlove is there a lot. Some of Talib's artists, Nico is, other comedians, Bill Burr has been on there, Michelle Wolf, Kevin Hart. They had a season. And it's the only podcast that I have paid for a platform to be able to listen to. Like, I have paid for a subscription to Luminary so I can hear this show. It's that dope. And it's like they went through that first season just seemed to fly by and then it was over. And I just man, is it over? Like, did I pay for this subscription for just this limited amount of content? And I'm never going to use it again. Talib's show is on there, too, which I should probably He does. He drops a lot of his stuff on YouTube as well. And I'd rather watch those interviews. I would love to watch the footage from the Midnight Miracle sessions. But yeah, Talib's show, I pretty much will catch on YouTube or whatever if I can, rather than Luminary. So the only thing keeping me on Luminary is the Midnight Miracle. But they dropped an episode recently. And it was a very special episode because it was basically to announce that we are getting the second Black Star album on May 3rd. I forget the name of it. I ain't even gonna try. I forget the name of it. It's a Black Star album. Who cares what the name of it is? Completely produced by Madlib. I know they've debuted at least one track on the podcast. And I think, I don't know how this is all working. I think it's gonna be released on Luminary to begin with. And then I guess we'll see where it goes from there. But they play some... I don't think that the rant from Yasin that they play was recorded for the Midnight Miracle podcast. I'm pretty sure I heard him say the exact same stuff on Talib's show. But, you know, he goes on a rant. Basically, the thing to hold up for the album has been, you know, finding the appropriate way to release it, finding a way to get the art out where, you know, the artists feel at least, you know, duly compensated. They don't feel like they, you know, being cheated or bled, you know, for their work. You know, most made, you know, a couple metaphors, you know, comparing the situation to like strippers and stuff. Like, you know, even if, because I think as fans, we can from time to time feel like, not like we own an artist, but like the artist has some sort of obligation to us to, you know, for our support. They're supposed to keep giving us content. Like, you know, like we've supported you. We've helped you afford whatever lifestyle it is that you have. You owe us whatever. And he's just like, nah, it's not how it works. It's like a stripper in a strip club. Like, you know, I don't care how much you tip me. Stop touching me. I don't like it. Like, you know, it's a very relevant, I guess, comparison. But it's pretty. I think my favorite line from his rant is like talking about the Spotify, you know, how the Spotify payouts, and he's like how, you know, each stream gets you a portion of a penny. And he's like, who the fuck looked at a penny and decided you could break it into parts? Like, who, like, now how insane is that, that you give somebody and you give the person, you know, essential to the product? Like, you cannot produce the product. You cannot have this music without the musicians, but the musicians get a portion of a penny, you know, every time their product is consumed. Like, that's crazy when you really think about it. But, and I wish I didn't do Spotify. I think I don't do Spotify. I do Tidal. And only because I get it like at a discount or free from Sprint, T-Mobile. I wasn't choosing sides, nothing political behind that. I went with the most cost effective option for me. I think before Sprint was giving away Tidal, they was giving away Spotify, and that's where I was. Whatever, you know. I'm like, who had that joke? I don't know if it was, I think it was Dave Chappelle had that joke. He's like, you know, I've drank Pepsi and Coke. They pretty much taste the same, you know. But if you ask me today, I like Pepsi because they pay me more. So, I mean, like, that's basically what it is. I fuck with Tidal because I get it for free. But I wish I didn't have to, because I don't own, like, I feel like I don't own any of my music anymore. If I don't maintain these subscriptions, I lose access to, you know, all the music I listened to since 2000, whatever, like years. Like, you know, I remember having, you know, fucking flip books full of CDs. And even when I was ripping CDs to my computer, and, you know, I had like 10,000 MP3s. I had this library of music that I owned and would own forever as long as I held on to those files, I held on to those discs. And now, like, with these streaming services, I don't own shit. And it's like, you know, if I don't pay the bill, or for whatever reason, I don't want to rock with you no more, or if the artist I like pulls their music off your platform, I'd lose access to it. And I don't like that. I don't like that. How you say it, like the chick from the meme? I don't, whatever. But, yeah. No, but we're getting another Black Star album, and very excited about that. May 3rd, I think it is. I will definitely be talking about it on the show. Yeah, this is going to be a jam-packed little bit for me. Man, I think I'm taking Chef Elise out of town for like a we getting a cabin or something out near a water park. And yeah, you know, that's going to be a big trip for me coming up here in May. And then right after that, I'm going to the Black Pod Festival in Atlanta, like Memorial Day weekend. I haven't really traveled in more than 2 years, you know, just because I'm not a big traveler. And I depended on my ex-wife, you know, for a lot. Like I was, you know, during that time, it's like, you know, I worked, I brought money in, you know, I made decisions, you know, in terms of like technology and, you know, who was going to be our internet provider and what services we were going to stream and shit like that. Like I made those kind of decisions, and then basically everything else, like, you know, my ex-wife would take care of it. We was planning the trip out of town. You know, she would go look for the tickets, buy the tickets, get everything booked. You know, I just had to pack my own shit and show up and help with the baby, that kind of stuff. So it's one of my first like ventures out as a grown ass 40-year-old that I'm planning on my own and buying my own plane tickets and figuring out lodging and all that good kind of stuff. But I'm looking forward to it. You know, I think that's definitely a thing in my podcast journey that I'm missing, is, you know, is some of the networking. And I love that about like podcasting in general. Like to me, this is one of the few industries I've been a part of where like it doesn't feel like a competition. It never feels like we're competing for listeners. Like it feels like everybody believes that there's enough people out there for all of us, and that why can't they listen to your show and my show kind of things. There's a lot of collaboration, a lot of networking, and I'm just not particularly good at it because I don't like to talk. That might be shocking because I talk for 30 minutes, you know, to myself every week, but I don't like to talk. I'm not a big social person, and so I think I'm missing that kind of, you know, that part of the show, like me working with other creators and doing more guest spots and stuff like that, and having more people on the show. I need to have guests, and it just don't happen because I don't make it happen. So yeah, looking forward to the Black Pod Festival in Atlanta. See if I can, I don't know, cut my teeth in terms of like networking with other people. Is that the phrase? Like I just be thinking this shit. Like it don't dawn on me to like get ready to say it, that I'm not sure that that's the phrase. Like cut your teeth. Like that's a thing, right? People say that, right? I think people say that. We gonna say they say that and move on. Yeah, and then right after that, I think the lingerie football, they only playing one game in Austin this year. And it's not the lingerie football league anymore. It's the extreme football league or something. But the Austin Sound, is it the Austin? Yeah, it's the Austin Sound. It used to be the Austin Acoustic. But the Austin Sound, they only have one home game this year, so I'm trying to make that home game, and that'll be like right after I get back from the Pod Festival, because I'm leaving Atlanta and I'm going to DC for a while to just be home. I haven't touched home in, man, several years. There are people that haven't seen me, like they hadn't seen me for quite some time before the suicide attempt, and they definitely haven't seen me after. So, you know, like I may be like a ghost, like a disembodied voice at this point, like a person they believe exists, but they can't be sure because they ain't seen them in the flesh. So yeah, I'm gonna go home and hopefully while I'm there speaking to network, and not hopefully, we got this all planned out, it's gonna happen. But I should be sitting there with my homies that have started podcasting, the Uncomfortable Truth podcast. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, please go look those guys up. My homie Velvet Jones and Quadi. I'm gonna go sit down with them. And I'm really looking forward to that because I don't know, I live in Austin. I love Texas. No, all right. I love Austin. From what I've heard, Austin is not representative of the rest of Texas, so I can't make that broad statement that I love Texas. But I love Austin. But Austin is Austin. Long story short, I haven't had like a real nigga conversation in a long time. Like I just haven't had like, you know. And I love my friends, I love my homies. And no diss to anybody in Austin that feels like they a real nigga. Like, my bad. Like, get at me. Like, let's have a conversation. I'd enjoy it. And no diss to Zaya either. We just don't talk that much, you know. You're a young boy doing young boy things. You're busy. Like, you know, you don't have time to complain about the kids on the lawn like I want to. But anyway, I haven't had like a real nigga conversation in a long time. So I feel like, you know, I get home, I get to hook up with those dudes, and I can just really like talk some shit, have a real black man conversation, which I have not had in a long, long time. So I'm looking forward to that. Y'all look forward to that. That's coming. So I'm a sit in on their show, have them on mine. It's going to be super dope. And yeah, man, I don't know what else. Like, I can't think that far. I think Kevin Hart's coming to town in August, and the homie Chad hit me up to go do that. $300 for the tickets, man. Like, if it wasn't for the fact that it's Chad, and that's my boy, and like, we seem to have made a thing out of going to see comedians. We've seen Donnell Rawlins, we've seen Joe Rogan, that's some lesser known people. I think I'm gonna hit up Deion Cole in a couple weeks here. He's gonna be in Austin. Chris Redd is coming, who I kind of want to see. I'm trying to decide between Donnell Rawlins again, Chris Redd, Brian Simpson is gonna be here. I think Earthquake is coming. There's a bunch of shows, like, and I'm running out of money. So no diss to the comedians that I don't see. I just, nigga, like, I did what I could. Like, I did what I could. Went as hard as I could. But yeah, so I got some busy shit coming up, and y'all will hear all about it. I guarantee it. I promise you. So real quick, Liz, I guess at this point we should get into the show. What I'm drinking, I will do the tea update because I am keeping the tea streak going. I think this one this week is another one from August Uncommon Teas. This is called Know My Heart or Know By Heart, something like that. Something about knowing and the heart. It's one of these, you know, yeah, just search heart if you go to the website and you want to find it out. It's a white tea with orange blossom and honey. Has like a dreamsicle almost flavor to it. They even have like a recipe on the website where you make like a float with ice cream and the tea, and it's supposed to have that real like dreamsicle vibe with it. I think the next time I do a tea party, I'm gonna do like tea cocktails with no alcohol, so just like tea floats and some other shit. They got mad recipes on the August Uncommon site, and I'm gonna check them out. I'm doing this one iced tonight, so hold up. Yeah, it's good stuff. And my throat was dry. Pause. But yeah. All right. So moving directly from that into the Chef Elise update.
Out of Pepe.
Yeah, man. You know, something happened this week that I wasn't prepared for. Like, I wasn't ready for it. It's a natural part of life. I knew it was coming. I was hoping, you know, I had several more years before I would have to deal with it. And the scary part about it is that, you know, it's one of those things that once it starts, it ramps up. Like, it's, you know, it's only going to get worse from here. So however I feel about this one moment, like, this is just the fucking tip of the iceberg. But I wasn't ready for it. It shocked the hell out of me. But we're going to deal with it. We're going to keep moving. But basically, we had a first. You know, Chef Elise called me and she asked for money. I knew it was going to come that day when your kids is just asking you for money and your daughter asking you for money for all kinds of stuff. I just didn't know it was going to be this week. And so, yeah, she hit me up this week and asked me for money. And she did it in the way that women do it, in that long roundabout. I guess let me not do that. That's sexist. Everybody who don't really want to ask you for money in a long roundabout kind of way. And they say shit like she would say, like, "Dad, you remember that book fair that we had? Like don't put it on me to remember shit. Like, just ask me for what you asking me for. Like, don't have me fill in the blanks with my memory because you don't want to say it. Just say the thing." You know, she's like, "Dad, you remember that book fair that we had at Murchison?" Like, okay, whatever. "Yeah, I remember it. What about it?" He's like, "Yeah, well, you know, I bought a lot of books, and I was just wondering if you could put some money in my e-wallet so that I could get some more books. You know, I don't have any money left." And mom already put money in there. So can you put some money in my e-wallet? And I was like, bet, dad can do that. For books, dad can do that. But yeah, I just wasn't ready for her calling me, asking me for money. And again, this is more of this like new age parents and stuff. They have these book fairs. And I saw that they were having a book fair. Like, when she comes here on Fridays, you know, I'll go through her book bag and there'll be little notes and stuff left by the teacher. And the teacher had mentioned that there was going to be another book fair. And I thought I read in the notice somewhere that like parents could come to this book fair. Like, you know, the pandemic is winding down. They're comfortable with us being on campus so the parents could come. And so that was my plan, was just, you know, show up, you know, and buy her whatever she wanted. And then the alternative to that, which we had to do the last time, is you set up an e-wallet on their website and you can put money in it. And then they can spend the money however they see fit themselves. At the book fair, which I also think is dope because, you know, it gives them the experience of understanding money and, you know, how to. And I think my daughter is definitely one of those. I'm trying to get the most books I can for the money. Like, I'm not trying to get one big book and then be broke. I think, and I saw her, I put $30 in there. When I saw her, she had like 6 books. So she's learning. She's got, it's a natural talent. She got that from dad, that stretch a dollar thing. Yeah, I'm going to take credit for that. But yeah, that was shocking for me to just, like, at 6 years old, be getting a call. Like, hey, dad, can you put some money on my books? Like, you know, it just, it was a weird moment for me. Other than that, she had another soccer game this week. And I really thought, like, we was coming to the end of the whole soccer thing. She's not good at all. No diss to her. She's just, this is not the sport she seems to excel at. And there's some girls on her team that are very, very good for their age. And when you see her out there playing, it doesn't look like she's enjoying herself. But every conversation I've had with her off the field has been, I love soccer. I started trying to talk to her about gymnastics or playing an instrument or dance classes. And she's like, I did that. You know, she's like, I think I'm gonna stick with soccer because soccer is like my main thing right now. I'm like, all right, that's your main thing. Bet. You just like, what do we have to do to get you more involved? I shouldn't care. As long as she's out there having fun, even if she sucks and she's staring at butterflies and trailing the play, and we got to remind her which goal they, you know, going toward every 5 minutes, I shouldn't care. She's having fun. She's telling dad she's having fun. It's all good. I should be happy about that. I'm working on it. I swear. I promise. But that's the Sheffy Leafs update. That's all I got.
Out of Pepe.
All right. So, why I titled this episode, I Am Not From Baltimore. So, I tell people, and this is where I'm going to get in all kinds of trouble. I tell people I'm from D.C., Washington, D.C. And in my heart, I am from Washington, D.C. Now, I don't know how you establish the criteria on who can claim being from where, but I was literally born in Washington, D.C. The hospital that I was delivered in is located in the District of Columbia. Now, with that being said, I don't know the statute of limitations on this thing, so hopefully I'm not getting moms in trouble. If they send you a bill, mama just forward it to me. I'll take care of it. I'm saying that like I got it. I don't, but I still figure it out. But I was born in D.C., and I went, every school I attended was also in the District of Columbia. Elementary school, middle school, high school, all D.C. public schools. However, I lived in Maryland. I lived in the suburbs of D.C. in Maryland. You got to understand, like, D.C., if you're not from that area, so I'm saying this mostly for my Texas folks because they don't understand, like, how close everything is on the East Coast. If you're not from that area, like, D.C. is a very small, you know, 10 square mile city that's surrounded by states. So, you know, Maryland is a huge state, but living in Texas, no, it's not. But compared to D.C., it is huge. And there's a lot of Maryland that's not really connected to D.C. When you say the DMV, there's a whole lot of Maryland that's not included in that. I know that DMV stands for, you know, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, but there's a lot of Virginia that's not DMV and there's a lot of Maryland, it's not DMV. So I tell people I'm from DC. One, because I was born there. I went to school there. When I moved out the house, you know, I moved to the city. This is how close DC and Maryland are, just on a daily basis. I moved out of Maryland into DC. But then to go to work every day, I would walk to the subway station. Walking to the subway station, I had to cross back into Maryland to get on the train to ride back into DC to get to my job. So that's how, you know, that's how close you can be, like, in Maryland, but really it's DC. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm from DC. I do not ever say I'm from Maryland, because what happens when you tell people you're from Maryland, they assume you're from Baltimore. And I'm not from Baltimore. I am not from Baltimore. This all started because I was sitting in a barber chair this week, and I don't know what he had on. I don't know what he had on the TV. We were talking about something, and I think I was talking about, you know, some people acting like they were scared of me, or like they thought I was going to do something. And he made the comments like, oh, "It's not like you back in Baltimore or nothing." And I brushed that off because I ain't get what he was trying to say. I mean, I got what he was trying to say, but I ain't understand really how it connected to me. It was like maybe the wire is on or something. Like, I don't know. Something was on the TV. I don't know. And then we kept going, and eventually, I think I had to say, like, I'm from DC. And he was like, "Oh, man, you got a Baltimore accent." And that shit hurt. That hurt me to my heart. Like, you don't understand. Like, when the dude told me I had a Baltimore accent, like, I was offended. I was offended because I'm not from Baltimore. DC, and it's in Baltimore. And if you in DC, Baltimore is another world. Like, it is a long ass drive. Like, we don't drive that far for shit. Like, you know, like, that's a trip. You plan that. That's not like, oh shit, let's just go to Baltimore, or like there's a store you like and it happened to be in Baltimore. If there's a store you like and it happened to be in Baltimore, you just don't go to that store, but every, you know, I don't know, 6 months or something like that. My homie and I would go out there for shows. Like, I've seen some dope hip hop shows in Baltimore, Slick Rick, Lil Brother, Mos Def. We would drive out there for that, but that was an event. It was planned out. We bought tickets. We know we was going up there. We know we was coming back. That was the thing. And we've literally, this has happened. Me and my homie, who are both, you know, from the area, from the DMV, been there our whole lives. Driving up to Baltimore for a show, stop at a gas station, you know, to get gas, get something to drink, go on a little thing to get, you know, drinks and stuff like that. And some dudes come in, and the dudes are having a conversation, you know, and they locals, they having a conversation. They speak in Baltimore slang. They got Baltimore accents. And me and my homie is looking at each other like, are they speaking English? Do you understand anything that this? Because it was like they was speaking another language. I couldn't make out any of the words. If I was trying to eavesdrop, I wouldn't have understood the conversation at all. That's how different Baltimore is from the rest of Maryland, from DC. I don't know what it is. Like, I feel like I now have to start practice enunciating, because I'm doing something wrong if you hear my voice and you're like, "Oh, you from Baltimore." And my barber from Philly, so it's not like I feel like he's a Texan and has no idea what people from Baltimore or people from DC sound like, you know. He's from Philly. That's not far. He should have had, you know, close interaction with both of these groups of people. And for him to be like, "Oh, you sound like you're from Baltimore." I'm not from Baltimore. I just want to set that straight. I've said a lot of unpleasant things about Baltimore in my time. And trust me, I don't want no smoke with anybody from Baltimore. Because it's real. It's real up there. I don't want no problems. I take it all back. I don't want to misclaim your city. Like, I don't want to misrep, you know, where you from. That ain't where I'm from. And whatever I'm doing, like, I don't want to fuck that up and be somewhere and, like, feel like I'm false flagging or whatever it's called. Like, nah, because I'm not from Baltimore. I'm not from Baltimore. Man, I watch The Wire just like the rest of the world watched The Wire. I wasn't watching The Wire like yeah, that's the shit that happens right outside. Like, I was watching The Wire, like, shit, it's really like that in Baltimore. Like, you know what I'm saying? I watched it just like y'all watched it. And yes, it is really like that in Baltimore. But I didn't know that when I was watching the show. Because that was a whole nother fucking world to me. And I just wanted to set that straight. Because somebody told me I sounded like I was from Baltimore this week. And it hurt my fucking feelings. All right. Speaking of Baltimore, speaking of The Wire, I every once in a while I try to like get into some pop culture shit so I don't feel so left out. And when people are talking about stuff on Twitter, like it don't go over my head and I have some idea what people are talking about. But I always seem to miss. Like, did I miss the Top Boy wave? Like, was there a moment when Top Boy was a thing to talk about and people was talking about it? And then now I'm late to the party and there ain't nobody talking about it no more. So it's not a thing. Or did just nobody catch on to talk? Am I the only person that watches that shit? Because it's fucking amazing. It's basically The Wire in London. Like, and it's fucking amazing. And it goes to what I'm telling you about, like, how much of a different world Baltimore is from where I'm from. Is that if it wasn't for the accents in Top Boy, you could have told me that was Baltimore, and I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, it makes sense. Like, it looked the same to me. I don't know. I'm not from there. But, yeah, Top Boy is dope. I guess I watched the two seasons that Netflix has just put out, and then now I'm going back and trying to catch the seasons that were made before Netflix picked it up. I guess Drake had something to do with that, bringing it to Netflix and getting the show started. And now I got to wait for this season 3 to come out, which, you know, but I guess I don't know if I missed the wave. Y'all tell me, did I miss the wave, or did, you know, nobody watching the show? Can we talk about it? Can somebody like rewind and go back with me for a bit to chat about Top Boy? Because it's like, I feel like I got nobody to talk to about it. And I'm just like, I'm Googling stuff. And I'll tell you this, working for some of the places, like I don't work in the public sector, but I work like public sector adjacent. So not quite government, but pretty close to government. And Googling Top Boy on a government machine feels wrong. It feels awkward. It feels like somebody is going to flag that. Like, I don't, you know, it just, I don't think I should be Googling Top. Every time I do it, I feel uncomfortable. Even on my home computer, I want to do like the incognito window, because just the Top Boy, them two words together, it don't seem like something I should be Googling. So I'd rather be able to have a conversation with somebody than to be searching this stuff on the web, because I don't feel comfortable right now. I don't feel like I'm in a good place. Yeah. Yeah, but the show is dope. And then, like, I'm learning that a lot of the main actors are like British rappers, which is, you know, it's just cool to me to like become a fan of somebody for one thing, for their acting. I think if you had told me they were trained actors, I would have believed you. But then to find out that these guys in this show that I have become fans of for their acting ability are also like crazy talented rappers. It's been an overall dope experience for me. If you get a chance, if you haven't checked out Top Boy, if I haven't missed the wave, you just never came, check it out. If you want somebody to talk to about it, I'm available at all times. So that's really all I got. I guess back on the Ketanji Jackson Brown or Brown, I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize. I just don't know. I said, you know, I was going to bring that back up because my barber and I, like, he works in one of these like barber megaplexes or whatever. It's like a huge office space, and you walk in there, there's a receptionist that nobody talks to. And then you just like walk back to the office that your barber works in. And so, you know, it's a one man shop. You walk in there, close the door behind you. So you get to have, you know, like barbershop conversations are pretty out there to begin with. But then when it's just one on one, you and one other dude, like the conversations can get, you know, I think a little more personal, a little more in depth. And, you know, I think I've gone in there a couple times. I think I went in there and he had like the confirmation hearings on. And so we were having a little conversation, and you find stuff out about people that you never intended to find out. Like, I don't need to know my barber's political beliefs. I don't want that to become a part of whether or not I go to this barber or not. Like, I just don't want to have those conversations. I think he cuts my hair well. I appreciate him. Most of our conversations are dope. I'm uncomfortable sometimes when we start talking about the political stuff because I just shut up. Because the last thing I want to do is disagree with you on something that is very important to you, on a very important issue with you while you are cutting my hair. I don't want to do that. So I either got to just bite my tongue and let you go with whatever it is you say. And some of the stuff he said, like, you know, it just reminds me that, like, headlines are crazy these days. People don't read the stories behind the headlines. They don't, you know, they don't research. And he'll say stuff in the barbershop that, like, I'm unaware of, because I'm not looking for a reason to not like a certain person. I'm not looking for any information on the person. I don't care as much as you do. I say, hey, say something. And I'm like, that don't sound like, of what I know of this person, that don't sound like, you know, something I would think they'd ever be involved in. But I don't know enough to refute it, you know. So I'm just going to sit here and just let you have that and smile and nod. You know, it sounds like bullshit to me, but we don't need to have that conversation right now. And then I get home. So, like, as soon as I get out of the shop, I'm standing in front of his shop. And I'm I'm Googling it. And 9 times out of 10, you know, when I Google it, it's just one of them things where there's more to the story than the headline. There's more to the story than so-and-so said this. So-and-so said these words. Like, that might not have been the whole sentence. But you heard him say these words, so you feel this kind of way about him. And then, you know, whatever. So, I think there are people who feel a certain way about her. You feel a certain way about a lot of things because of a headline. And they only read the article that agrees with what they came into the situation already thinking. They just wanted something to back up what they already felt was true. I encourage you to go read the article from the opposing point of view as well. That's what I try to do. Like, if I read something and it agrees with me too much, it's like, all right, maybe all of this isn't true. Let me go read the other side to see, you know, how much of this I can be like, oh yeah, I was right as fuck. Oh, I was a little bit right. I wasn't completely right. There's also this shit. Like, balance it out. That was very vague on purpose because there are a lot of things I want to say. I had made some hype, like, on Twitter. Not some hype because ain't nobody reading it. But I had built myself up on Twitter this week. Like, I was going, I'm holding back. And I don't want to hold back no more. Like, I ain't going to be this nice. Ain't gonna be kumbaya and be the light and all that other good shit this week. I'm gonna say how I really feel. And then, like, right before I went to record this, I saw another show that I follow that didn't have a Twitter account opened the Twitter account and they followed me. And you know, and I have some opposing views with them. And I have to think all the time to me. This is for me. I'm not telling you how to live. Whether or not what I want to say needs to be said, you know, because I don't have to agree with you on things to love and respect you. And if I love and respect you, I don't want to hurt you unnecessarily. And so, you know, some of my views and some of my feelings about things may, you know, hurt some feelings, especially being heard in that context. I think if we were having the conversation one on one individually, we know each other well enough and you know I respect and love you well enough to know that whatever I'm saying is not coming from a position of hate or disrespect or any of that. It's just it's a personal opinion and one I'm open to hearing your opposing viewpoint from. I don't really get the opportunity on your show because it ain't nobody here but me. I'd love to have some guests. But yeah, so I have to think to myself all the time, like, whether or not what I think about a certain thing needs to be said. If I'm only saying it, you know, to get some oohs and ahs or likes and views, hot takes, whatever it is. Am I just saying it to get it off my chest, but I'm doing that at somebody else's expense. I may be hurting somebody that I love and care about. So yeah, you know, as much as I be wanting to say some real reckless shit, like, until it feels like it's necessary, until it feels like it's needed, until I feel like I have a point of view that hasn't been expressed or it would benefit somebody to hear, I'm gonna eat it, you know, because they, you know, I don't want to hurt people that I care about, and I feel like I could, and I don't want to do that. I don't know where that came from, but you know, it's part of the show. This shit is definitely unscripted. Definitely unscripted this week. Calls to action. As always, the homie Zaya Fitness. One of these days, we're going to have a real nigga conversation. Zaya, we just, you know, you getting older. And so am I, but whatever. We're going to get there. But regardless of that, if you're trying to get your fitness and then your fitness and your nutrition goals together, that's a real nigga. I don't think he likes that word. That's the dude to talk to. Holla at my man Zaya Fitness. He can get you where you need to be in terms of your nutrition and fitness goals. You can find him on livealphafitness.com. That's livealphafitness.com. Hit him up. Good dude. Can definitely get you where you want to go. Then, as always, I got my merch at the whatistws.com/store. You can get all your WTWS merch. We're going to make it through this. Right now, I think I still am doing the hoodie season 20% off coupon sale. So you can use coupon code hoodie season, HOODIESZN, to get your 20% off. But that's mostly for, you know, hoodies and sweatshirts, outerwear, long shirt, long sleeves, stuff like that. Summer algorithm is coming. So t-shirts are going to be on sale real soon. Hopefully dropping some new designs. Keep your eye out for that. But yeah, help me, take Chef Elise to Disney World or some shit like that. I really want to buy a house. And the house I saw is $1.4 million. And doing the research, I need to make $240,000 a year to realistically afford a $1.4 million house. So we're not going to talk about the gap between where I am now and where I need to get. But your purchase could go a long way. Long, long way. Long, 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 long. I'm just saying. And with that said, thank you for listening. If you made it this far, you dope as fuck, and I appreciate you. And until we speak again, be safe, be the light, be easy, and know this, if you know nothing else, I'm not from Baltimore. Nah, know this, if you know nothing else, I love you. Holla.